What's up, everyone? This is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. This week, I interviewed Mike Turnipole of Inside Tracker. Inside Tracker is a blood tracking company that works with some of the top CrossFit athletes in the world, as well as other professional athletes and thousands of average Joe and Jane CrossFitters, executives, etc. We talk about blood work as it relates to health and longevity, performance and recovery, aging, the aging process, nutritional interventions that accompany this blood work, and much more. Before we get started, just a couple more things. This month, we hit 100,000 downloads in 1 month, which is a record high. So if you have any friends that you think should be listening to this podcast that aren't already, shoot them a text, tell them to subscribe. And also, if you haven't already left a review and you're a regular listener, please go leave a review in iTunes. Lastly, I'm starting a little experiment. I set up a voicemail, and what I want to do is have some of you call in and leave me a question. And if you guys love it, I'll answer some questions on here. And if we get some good feedback, then I'll kind of make it a regular thing on the podcast. So if you're interested in leaving a question to have answered on the podcast, call 801-449-0503. That's 801-449-0503. Enjoy the show. What's up, everyone? This is Mike Cashew, and this is the Brute Strength Podcast. I'm here this week with Mike Turnipole of Inside Tracker. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. So I hate to do this. We just kind of went over it off air, but can you give everyone a little bit of background on your credentials, education background, and then just a brief overview of what Inside Tracker is about and what the goal with blood tracking is?
Yeah, of course, for sure. So, you know, simply put, my background's in the nutritional sciences. Studied at Cornell for both undergrad and grad school. Soon to be a registered dietitian here. And really kind of the sports nutrition for me has been something that's been a part of my life since I really can remember. Started CrossFit real early, around age 10.
Now let me ask you this. I didn't think of this until just now. Yeah. Did you know Pat Barber when you were first coming up? Because he was probably 10 when he started.
Yep, I did. I didn't know him or him personally, and I wasn't really kind of huge on Instagram at 10 because it didn't really exist yet. So in terms of that,
so y'all didn't have like an East West feud or anything like that, like Surfer Boy versus Boston Rower.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And he probably wouldn't know who the hell I am. In fact, I'm pretty positive of that, but maybe he'll listen
about
to this.
He will.
him and I can have a sick conversation here in a bit, hopefully about Inside Tracker, help both of us out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I started CrossFit out in Columbus, Ohio, with Graham Holmberg and Brandon Cowden. Brandon now runs CrossFit Grandview, pretty big gym out of Columbus, and Graham's out of 11th Element doing his own thing there. But I was lucky and fortunate enough to kind of start with them. So health and wellness was just kind of on the forefront. And with that, you know, with CrossFit and the competitive nature of it, that's kind of where it all stemmed from. And how can I kind of, you know, boost my performance and look aesthetically pleasing as well, was kind of the main goal. And then that kind of was where I was looking all the way up until my senior year. I actually made it to regionals in 2011 and didn't compete because I actually picked up rowing. Crew kind of on a whim. Somebody in the CrossFit gym happened to see me pull 500 meters on the rowing machine, and you know, with no technique, no idea what's going on, and the number was relatively decent.
What's relatively decent, Mike? Like sub 120?
No, not back at when I would have been 17. No, right, not back at 17. I pulled a 124.
Nice,
which,
nice.
Yeah, which, you know, with no technique, no idea what's going on, you know, just ripping on it.
Right.
Somebody who had rode in college was like, hey, you should give it a try. And at first I was like, why the hell would anybody do that? You know, you don't even see where you're going. you can't do anything else except for row all day, every day. But I gave it a shot nonetheless, and it turned out that I loved it. You know, the competitive nature of it, the mental aspect of it, kind of everything. And youth nationals were the same weekends as regionals that year. And I decided that I was going to row instead, and it ended up working out. I was able to row all 4 years at the top level at Cornell, which was one of the best experiences of my life. And then kind of from there, you know, in also studying nutrition, I was able to find this company, Inside Tracker, and make my way kind of back into the, you know, the CrossFit field. Still have my hand in rowing, but definitely making it back into CrossFit in terms of, you know, doing it myself again, and definitely working with a lot of athletes and individuals who are also, you know, in the CrossFit world.
So let's dive into this, man. What is blood tracking useful for? What is it not useful for?
So, you know, really, you know, when we start to think about Inside Tracker, what we are, yes, is a blood testing company, kind of a baseline. But really what's more important, and it's kind of the end goal for us and that end point, is what you do with that data and the recommendations that we can provide, you know, to give you some sort of action plan so you can kind of improve. So what we're able to do with the blood work is generate nutrition, supplement, exercise, and lifestyle guidance based on those biomarkers, as well as a good amount of, you know, information that we gather from the user. So we want to look at things like physical activity levels. You know, from a CrossFit perspective, we're looking at, you know, what it, you know, how many wads a week are you doing? Kind of what's the intensity of those wads? The relative time domain, you know, if you have heart rate data, taking a look at that as well. You know, then we want to look at, you know, your dietary pattern, the foods you're eating, of how much of those foods and how often. And we can get pretty specific with that. You know, we're looking, are you eating fish once a month, or are you eating fish a couple times a week, or something in between? And then we're going to go ahead and also take a look at the supplements. If you are taking any, we want to know what you are taking, again, how much and how often. And then we want to take a look at your goals. Now, are your goals to prevent injury, speed up recovery? Are they to build strength and power? Are they to increase endurance, fight inflammation, things along those lines? And then with that information and your blood data, we can say, okay, you know, based on the 20,000 things you could probably do for your health tomorrow, here are the top 20 interventions, again, in those nutrition, supplement, exercise, and lifestyle categories. That are going to help you optimize your biomarkers to reach that goal of yours, you know, whether it be that aesthetic goal or the wellness goal or the performance goal.
Okay. So I'm curious, do y'all have this data of the people that test regularly with Inside Tracker? How many, not even talking about the results that they get, but how many people adhere to that, those recommendations, those guidelines?
You know, it's very hard for us to definitely track that. We're definitely trying to add more into the system to be able to track it more kind of overtly and objectively. But more subjectively speaking, you know, with the amount of individuals I talk about, or I talk with, excuse me, definitely do adhere pretty well to those interventions. And the reason being for that, I feel, is the simplicity of them. So what we do is we take, you know, very complicated science. A lot of research has gone behind these biomarkers and how they relate to, you know, performance, wellness, longevity, and then kind of interpret them into something as simple as, you know, adding in more oatmeal in the morning 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Now, those have, you know, a lot of effects on metabolism, but in terms of the implementation of it, it's very simple. So, you know, you can test with Inside Tracker, walk away with, you know, kind of four actionable interventions that are going to have a larger, you know, magnitude of effect on your overall health than, you know, playing a guessing game without taking a look at, you know, your biomarkers and how your current lifestyle and diet is actually affecting your health. Objective.
Gotcha. Yeah. Have y'all noticed anything maybe unique about the CrossFit population in versus, say, your marathon runners, your general population?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, at this point, quite honestly, if you gave me a CrossFitter and didn't tell me who they were and just showed me their blood work, which would never happen, by the way, we take our data pretty seriously. I should plug that. But hypothetically speaking, if I was to get a hold of your data, I could tell you that they do CrossFits.
What markers would tell you that?
So in CrossFitters, a lot of the times creatine kinase is definitely elevated. Creatine kinase is a measure of muscle breakdown. So it's an enzyme that's involved in muscle and energy metabolism, and it's only found in muscle cells. So it would show up in your blood when there's been muscle damage. Now, you know, having it be in your blood to a certain extent is fine, right? That's part of the normal breaking down of your muscles during exercise and then having them repair stronger, kind of, you know, so to speak. But when you start to get to that overtrained state, you maybe you're hitting Metcon after Metcon after Metcon with heavy loads, heavy loads, heavy loads, you know, kind of that go ham mentality, then what you see is the compounding effect, and you'll get a you know, a very large spike in creatine kinase. You know, with that, we also see testosterone fall. You know, testosterone is a steroid hormone. It's important for muscle development and strength, you know, bone health, sexual function, overall energy, and definitely, you know, athletic performance. And repeat, you know, Metcons over and over and over again to a certain point will cause the testosterone to drop.
So what kind of physical manifestations can people, will people see when this is happening to them?
Oh, it's a constant, you know, extremely tired, can't figure out why, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're getting really crappy sleep, even though you're going to bed, you're not looking at any kind of blue lights, you know, for a good amount of time before hitting the pillow. You've booked in, you know, 9 hours of sleep on the clock, but for some reason you're constantly waking up in the middle of the night. That's kind of a telltale sign that you might be doing it, you know, a little bit too hard. And it's important to understand that doing it too hard doesn't necessarily mean that you have to completely stop working out. It really means that you have to take a look at how you're training and kind of adjust it from there. You know, taking a look at the training intensity doesn't necessarily mean that the volume has to go down.
Right.
And, you know, if you have that kind of that burn in the legs real quickly when you're warming up, or kind of a decrease in performance, or you just don't feel like you're recovering as quick as you should, or, you know, let's say a workout that would normally be a warm-up for you is kind of putting you on the ground, might be time to kind of take a look at the blood results and see, you know, what's going on.
Another great one for CrossFitters, because they're generally so pumped to be in the gym, is just their affect. If you're coaching an athlete who's usually pumped to be there, and he or she comes in 3 days in a row and is super bummed and doesn't have any, you know, significant outside stress, like new outside stress, that is a telltale sign of overtraining that you can look out for. And if you are experiencing that, then it may be time for you to take a step back as well. What are some of the most common deficiencies that you see in people?
You know, definitely, vitamin D, but if I could circle around before I hit that, you bring up a good point. Earlier you mentioned, you know, what is blood testing not good for? And you taking a look at, you know, a CrossFitter's affect and their kind of their mood as they enter the gym. Blood testing isn't good for the sole measure of performance or health, mm-hmm. right? It's definitely, you know, one of the things you add in and you track over time to give you another data points to assess as part of that larger picture.
Right.
So using things like creatine kinase, you can tease out that physical strain versus kind of generalized fatigue or psychological stress. Mm-hmm. You know, that in combination with other biomarkers and, you know, how somebody's telling you they feel, maybe HRV stuff, sleep data, you can start to figure out, you know, where exactly, let's say if you're just not performing well, is it something that's coming from nutrition? Is it something that's coming from your lifestyle? Is it something that's coming from your mind states, or maybe nutrition? But it's just another data point to add in there to you know, more objectively help figure that out.
And I appreciate the hell out of that. I there's no one pieces of that data. You know, whether it be nutrition or blood or psychological is the entire picture. And anybody that says they've got, you know, the answer is, you know, selling snake oil. So I definitely appreciate you taking that kind of holistic approach and, just using it as one of many data points.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, to answer, the next question, what we see a lot is, vitamin D, whether it's insufficiency or deficiency. And, you know, vitamin D is definitely important for, does have kind of an anabolic effect. It's important for muscle synthesis. It's important for bone health. It's important. There has been some research that shows a correlation with testosterone and optimized testosterone when your vitamin D levels are optimized. So it's definitely something to consider. And it's also a marker that kind of in the American population, we never get enough of. And the reason being for that is vitamin D is really prevalent from a nutritional standpoint in kind of fatty fish as well as mushrooms. And those are two things that we definitely don't kind of on average eat a lot of. And then the third source of vitamin D would be sunlight. Which, you know, since a lot of us spend all day, either one in the gym or two in the office, we don't get a lot of exposure to sunlight. Mm-hmm. And if we do go outside, we end up putting on sunscreen, which blocks the conversion of cholesterol into vitamin D anyway. So what you'll see is a lot of athletes come in and are slightly deficient and are having issues recovering, you know, not progressing the way that they should be or want to be, and everything else that they're doing seems to be on par, right? They're getting enough sleep. Their heart rate number, heart rate variability data looks good. They're recovering, you know, okay in terms of those inputs. And then we test them. The biomarkers, you know, their testosterone looks fine. Their creatine kinase looks fine. Their cortisol looks fine, their metabolism seems optimized, and then you get to the vitamin D, and it's low. And we go ahead and put them on a vitamin D supplement, and we can kind of, with the blood work, and, you know, all the stuff we know about them, get pretty specific into, you know, how much vitamin D they should be taking daily, and then again for how long, to drive their performance up. Mm-hmm. It's actually funny. Ben Bergeron has talked about how he uses Inside Tracker with his athletes, and he uses kind of vitamin D supplementation as a measure of, you know, an athlete's willingness to kind of get to that next level, so to speak, because it's one of the easiest interventions of popping the, you know, taking a vitamin D pill. And, you know, if he's working with an athlete, and they test with us as a baseline, the vitamin D is low, and they start taking, or they should start taking a vitamin D supplement, retest in a few months, and if it comes back even worse, he's like, well, what does that say about an athlete's desire? Right. What does that actually say about them and their willingness to kind of, you know, put everything on the line if they're not even willing to take a vitamin D supplement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of that data does nothing if you don't follow it, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Were there any big surprises when you started working with this population? The CrossFit population, that is?
Yeah, actually kind of the surprise is how totally into it everybody is. I don't really see, you know, somebody who hears about us and is kind of so-so on it. You know, when they get a hold of, you know, looking who's actually working with us and, you know, if they're able to talk to me or one of my colleagues, once they kind of understand the avenues it'll open from there, you know, in terms of their health and their performance, I'm surprised at how much everybody, you know, finds the money and jumps on board. It's actually amazing, and CrossFitters are definitely one of our most active you know, population groups. If I had to classify CrossFit as a group of people, kind of as a whole, they definitely gravitate to this kind of data tracking, which makes sense, right? You can't manage what you don't measure,
right?
So, you know, blood is just the next generation of, you know, what individuals are doing for their health and performance.
Right. What I know y'all offer lots of different packages and stuff like that. What are the most important tests for athletes to get taken with you guys, and what is best for who?
Yeah, so we do offer a good amount of plans, and they range from, you know, $99 to $499. And really the only difference between those plans is how many biomarkers we test for, right? The more biomarkers we test, the more expensive it is, just kind of, you know, plain and simple. But, you know, what that allows us to do is have a good amount of insights when you do purchase the plan that's more comprehensive, you know, into what's going on biochemically. And we can kind of, you know, connect the dots for you a little more when we have more data. So, for example, you know, let's say somebody's testosterone is low. Well, that could be caused by a whole slew of things. You know, it could be caused by nutrition, it can be caused by training, it can be caused by sleep. But again, if we had your testosterone levels, but we also have maybe your free testosterone, that is how much is available for an anabolic reaction. Maybe we have your creatine kinase as well. We have your cortisol levels. We have your sex hormone binding globulin levels. And, you know, we still know how you've been training because you told us. We know how you've been eating because you told us. And we know the supplements you're taking. Well, now we have a pretty detailed understanding, or at least a more detailed understanding of where that low testosterone might be coming from. So those recommendations that we can generate, you know, the specificity of them definitely increase when we have more information. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's definitely not to say that the most expensive plan is the best for everybody. It's not. It goes back to what your goals are. So if you have an athlete that has any sort of kind of performance inclination to where, you know, that output for them that they do in the gym, or maybe they're competing, something along those lines, if that's of importance to them, then our ultimate plan, which is the most comprehensive plan, is definitely the one for them and the one to consider. Mm-hmm. It's going to give them the most of an idea of how their training and lifestyle nutrition is affecting their performance, and then how to go ahead and take it to the next level. Now, if you have an individual who, you know, is going into the CrossFit gym maybe a couple times a week, three times a week, and the idea kind of is more overall health than it is so performance, you know, of course those individuals might get competitive, you know, while they're in the gym, but their overall goal is a little bit different. Then, you know, our performance plan, which is kind of a step down in both price and the amount of biomarkers, might be more in line for them. You know, instead of $499, it's $299. And it's just, you know, it still gives you a good idea of how your training is affecting you, but it's definitely more in light of kind of overall health mm-hmm. than, you know, straight performance output.
Gotcha. What is the difference, if any, in the blood of some of the elite athletes that you work with and some of the average Joes and Janes?
Quite honestly, a lot of the elite athletes' biomarkers are, you know, if we're talking here at first baseline test, and we'll consider it in light of that only, we're not going to look at this in trends in mm-hmm. terms of my next statements, but that first test, we see a lot of elite athletes' blood work is worse.
That would be my guess.
Kind of your average Joe. And it's not a bad thing, right? What people have to realize is that each blood test is a testing point in time. And those fluctuate. And they're heavily modulated by, you know, all these nutrition, lifestyle, exercise inputs. So as you change those things, like, for example, you know, start heading into a peak training session, you're going to see the effect of those biomarkers on those biomarkers. But that could be things, you know, that could be representative of your body adapting to that training load. It could be overtraining. It could be a whole, you know, slew of different things. But the importance is now when you see that data and you take into account, you know, your other inputs as well, you know, your subjective, how do you feel, your sleep, things like heart rate again, you know, once you take those into account, you can see why the data might look like it does. And then how do you interpret it and go from there? So with some of these elite, you know, CrossFitters that are putting in, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 hour training days, of course, you know, their testosterone might come back low. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it does piss some of them off. Quite honestly, they're like, you know, I'm the, you know, best, one of the best CrossFitters there are out there. And you're telling me my testosterone's low. And I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, one of the effects of training, and here's how you can fix it. Take a look at your programming with your coach. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing the wrong thing. You know, that could be the right thing for you, you know, 3 months down the line. But what we want to do is keep you from, you know, kind of nosediving into that overtrained state, and instead keep you, you know, trending upward positively, in terms of your performance. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at that, you know, the kind of the everyday CrossFitter, who's into the overall health, you know, they're not hitting it as hard necessarily. So sometimes their blood work in terms of those, you know, kind of those performance markers, are a little bit more in the optimized zone, just because they haven't been affected as much by training. Mm-hmm. What we do see there, kind of the difference, is a lot of the times those metabolism and weight control markers, for the everyday athlete, or, you know, everyday CrossFitter are a little bit worse. You know, they might have a little bit higher cholesterol, their fasting blood glucose might be a little bit higher. And that's something we don't see necessarily as often in the elite CrossFitter. And normally when we see it in the elite CrossFitter, it's more kind of a mechanism of the training that they're doing, and effects on different hormones and then how they then affect those metabolism markers. Whereas in the kind of general population, it's more of a nutrition, you know, the effect of something nutritionally.
Is that also related to their body composition, the more average person?
Yeah. Normally you see the body composition by, you know, has gotten to that point by way of their, you know, nutritional habits. You know, I don't want to say lifestyle habits because they now make it to the CrossFit gym. So hopefully those are, you know, likely kind of, you know, better than 99.9% of the percent of the general population. But, you know, nutritionally, they might still be, you know, getting the kickstart on what's good for them and, you know, figuring out, you know, should they be eating bacon every day, all day? The answer is probably no. And, you know, sifting through that science out there and figuring out what works for them. So, yeah, it's body composition and nutritional habits that, you know, they're working on that likely lead to that.
So many paleo dieters just signed off. Good job, Mike.
Hey, I didn't say it was a bad thing. That's,
no,
you know,
just good.
No, it's a good point. I mean, I tried paleo for a while, and you know, I have a nutrition background, so you know, if there are registered dietitians listening to that, they probably just signed off. And you know, because they're not huge fans of paleo, so to speak. But you have to take a look at, you know, what an individual's goals are. You know, so often everybody's like, hey, there's one way to eat healthy. And no matter what you're trying to do with your nutrition, and that's the way it is. But what you have to take a look at is, hey, if your goal is to, you know, have 6% body fat and look a certain way, there's a way to eat for that. and I can help you get there, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to tell you that that's the best way for, you know, longevity, for you to eat, for, you know, living as long as possible. But, you know, there's a way to kind of combine all aspects, and let's see how we can perform the best while looking the best, while hopefully living the longest. And that's what we're trying to do here at Insight Tracker, is Amen. Give them evidence-based plan.
Amen. With that, I want to kind of switch gears a little bit. You were telling me before we started that the company started as more of a company concerned with the aging process. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So our founder, Gil Blander, he's also our chief scientific officer and president of the company. When he was younger, I think he was around the age of 12, he had a close relative pass away. And it affected him pretty deeply, so much that he spent the rest of his life up until, you know, now and continuing on from here, studying the science of aging, which culminated with him getting a PhD in the biology of aging. And then from there, he's kind of just been focused on how do you delay the aging process and improve individuals' health and, you know, quality of life as a result of that. And, you know, from what he studied, you know, he realized that there was a need for something like Insight Tracker. How do you take all these science-based information that, you know, PhDs learn and create, that registered dietitians study and use, that MDs use and interpret and apply, and how do you give some of that info to kind of the general population and make it evidence-based so they can kind of take control of their own health from the inside out. That was the basis of the company. One actually cool tool that we have in one of the plans is called InnerAge. And what we do is measure 5 biomarkers and then from there calculate your internal age, your biological age, versus your chronological age, or the one that's, you know, on your driver's license. You know, just like a car, age is one consideration, but, you know, mileage is what's most telling, mm-hmm. You know, in terms of, you know, what the repairs are going to look like and, you know, what the actual cost of the vehicle is going to be. So it's kind of the same thing from there. And when we put that number on it, we become truly data driven. We pull away from analyzing those individual biomarkers and we give you kind of that one objective quantified number of, hey, here's your actual age, here's your inner age, and now let's work on getting that inner age to hopefully come down so you can be younger on the inside than you are actually.
That is fascinating. Yeah. So I would love to live to 200, and I think a lot of listeners are with me on that. What are some of the biggest things out right now in terms of longevity as it relates to nutrition and supplementation?
Well, really, you know, there are a lot of things out there, and it's hard to answer that question because it's so dependent on an individual and, again, what their inputs are. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what we've done with this InnerAge, is how do we, give an individual what relates to them specifically in terms of longevity. So, for example, you know, everybody knows that superfoods, you know, quote unquote, are healthy for, you know, having fiber and different antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, and, you know, quote unquote, are healthy for the population, right? So what we've done is kind of played on that idea and come up with what we call focus foods. And what they are kind of the top 5 foods for you to add into your diet based on their micro and macronutrient profiles, mm-hmm. that are going to help lower your inner age the most, or have the largest kind of magnitude of effect on your inner age.
And those 5 are individualized for you.
They are 100% individualized for you based on what your biomarkers look like. So for example, you know, I might let's say, you know, you and I, Mike, were exactly the same, all things considered, height, weight, age, you know, race, training style, etc. But those that training style might affect us a little bit differently, let's say in terms of testosterone. So, you know, if it drives my testosterone lower than yours, my focus foods are going to take that into account and are going to look different than yours will. You know, all things else considered equal. So that's really what they're playing on. They're kind of the top five foods that are going to give you the most, nutritional bang for your buck, so to speak.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What about brain health? Is there, what kind of stuff is out there? And this may be the same answer, but is there anything, kind of widely accepted to improve brain function that y'all recommend?
Currently, no. Not that we recommend personally. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with nootropics out there and improving.
That was going to be my follow up.
Yeah. There's a lot of research on there. You know, I'm not necessarily 100% caught up. You know, I'll be quite honest in terms of what, you know, the nootropics research is saying these days. Mm-hmm. But what I will tell you is that, you know, when we put recommendations into our system, the whole basis of it, you know, when we analyze a given biomarker is whether or not, we feel the evidence, you know, behind a certain nutrition intervention or lifestyle intervention or supplements or exercise intervention, is strong enough, for us to go ahead and, you know, take a look at that, biomarker, or you know, how a certain supplement might affect that biomarker. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for example, there might be something medically that can be done, you know, for a biomarker. For example, a lot of individuals ask why we don't test thyroid hormone. And the answer is there's a lot of things you can do medically for thyroid hormone, but right now we don't feel that, you know, certain nutrition, lifestyle supplement interventions are strong enough to go ahead and, you know, provide recommendations, you know, for an individual. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we look at our recommendations, that's what we feel the science says most strongly relates to performance. You know, kind of, if you wanted to say that we would look at kind of, you know, your brain function, we might look at different kind of electrolytes that have been shown to be affected, you know, that affect cognition, such as, you know, folate, vitamin B12, magnesium. And what you're looking at there is kind of more related to oxygenation and blood flow than, you know, direct performance increase, you know, in terms of brain activity.
So nothing including like subjective measures of, say, focus or productivity or anything like that.
We do, you know, take a look at that, but, you know, we're not relating it directly to straight up brain function. We're relating it more to the optimization of those biomarkers that might be related to boosting energy. So they might have that kind of downstream effect. You know, so that is a goal that you could focus on, you know, boosting energy, boosting performance. But it's not the same kind of aspect of what you would be doing, you know, hopefully by taking some sort of, you know, nootropic or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, but I definitely don't want to comment on nootropics because, you know, I'm definitely one to recognize when I don't know enough about a subject to comment on it.
Yeah.
Definitely take a look at the research and get back to you. But, you know, I don't want to put false stuff out there that I, you know, I don't feel strongly about.
Yeah, no worries, man. Do y'all have any, or have you had any significant psychological findings kind of correlated to the data that y'all are pulling together?
I wouldn't say, you know, if you could put it on a psychological aspect, what we see a lot of is improving an athlete's mindset, right? Kind of giving them that peace of mind, ease of mind. You know, when you're training extremely hard, and you kind of don't know why, something is going poorly, or you have a poor performance, or, you don't know exactly, you know, what foods you should be adding into your diet and paying attention to, You know, that's worrisome for some individuals, and it's definitely stressful, right? If you have a, you know, a 5:30 Jackie time as your PR, and you go ahead and kind of use it as a measure of performance, and a few weeks later you do it again, and all of a sudden you put on all this work, and you, you know, have a time of 5:55. It's like, well, why the hell did that just happen? And what we're able to do for the athlete psychologically is kind of give them a breakdown as to why that might have happened. And for a lot of them, it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, looking at my kind of metabolic markers and my blood markers, I could see that my aerobic capacity is actually increasing. So that poor performance was likely due to the fact that, you know, I didn't sleep well last night, and, you know, mentally I wasn't sharp for the workout, and kind of gave up on it. So right. For them, you know, teasing that out is that huge psychological, you know, performance benefits, and that kind of step up on the competition to be able to understand more in depth, you know, actually, you know, how is their training affecting their performance.
I love that. It gives them a sense of ownership over their training, as well as like you're saying, the peace of mind of knowing exactly or as precisely as possible what's going on in their body. That's really awesome. Do you see any maybe future benefit of combining things like neurofeedback and stress reduction techniques in combination with your work?
Oh, definitely, 100%. You know, it's interesting because that kind of gets into, you know, where all of this tracking is going in the future. You know, if you take a look at a few years ago, not only blood, but other things like genetics and even like HRV for that matter, in terms of like, you know, outside of the endurance world and taking HRV and trying to use it in, you know, resistance trained athletes, you know, that stuff wasn't really widespread. And now, you know, there are more and more companies out there doing the actual tracking. And where things are going now are, you know, the recommendations and providing action plans and interpreting the data, you know, which is what we're doing that differentiates us now. But I definitely think that, you know, here down the line, there's going to be more and more companies that are doing that. And that provides, you know, kind of large avenues for integration, you know. For example, I have athletes, you know, these are elite CrossFitters, those who are, you know, either one, trying to make the games, or two, have been there multiple times. And what we do for them, you know, is kind of additional. Not only, you know, do we do the blood testing, but what we will also provide kind of as a concierge service is an interpretation of all those markers, kind of, or all those, you know, inputs and variables in light of their biomarkers. So, you know, a few years from now, we're going to take a look at, you know, breathing methods and meditation, and we're going to look at their sleep, and you're going to look at an athlete's heart rate data and take a look at, you know, hey, are you feeling better today than you did yesterday or worse, or what's going on there? And you're going to have a recommendation engine that's able to do that for you, I think. Not to mention that the ease of blood testing is going to be, you know, improved significantly here, probably shortly. In terms of how you're able to get it done, you know, kind of direct to consumer, and how much blood you need to be able to get the same amount of biomarkers.
Right, right. So my last question, you already kind of started to answer, kind of where are we going in the next 5 to 10 years? Can you also expand a little bit on how wearables might come into the picture?
Yeah, definitely. You know, so right now, you know, I would say wearables aren't necessarily huge in the CrossFit market. I mean, you could definitely find them there, but, you know, figuring out how we can track what we're doing without actually moving anywhere is kind of the next step for right. I think CrossFit wearables. But, you know, I will tell you that, you know, Garmin is, you know, pretty, you know, legitimized in the endurance world. And those athletes have a good amount of data. And use things such as, you know, training peaks and other kind of, you know, athlete management systems to track workouts and performance data from things like wearables, you know, a watch that's, you know, a GPS watch, and that you're getting heart rate with distance and elevation and strides and compact, you know, impact forces and things along those lines. And that stuff we're already doing now. is taking that data and also applying the biomarkers. Love right. It. So it gets into, you know, taking a look at really the key is, you know, anybody can train to get tired. That's not something that's difficult to do. And if you want to do that, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a significant difference between doing that and training to get better. Mm-hmm. Right. So what we're doing is trying to apply all of this information for those elite athletes and saying, okay, here is how your training has been affecting, you know, your aerobic capacity. And here's what you might consider doing from here on out, or here's what your strength is looking like. Like, how do we maximize, you know, your VO2 without cannibalizing some of your strength, and kind of vice versa. So you can, you know, be good at, anything and everything that's thrown out and, you know, thrown at you, especially in the CrossFit setting.
Right. It's insane. It's going to, I mean, we are so close to being able to put, you know, the cutting edge science into every single person's pocket, hand, what have you, so that they are training like an elite athlete. It's pretty fucking cool. And then it's all going to come down to good old hard work. There's no way to get around that one.
No, it always comes back to that. Definitely. 100%. But generally people are putting in a good amount of work, and you know, what we see in CrossFit is a lot of times people don't know when to stop.
Right.
Or, you know, giving them that data that shows that, hey, you might want to back it off, because in 4 months from now, you're going to have to, you know, pull out of competition because you're borderline going to hurt yourself. And that's something that we can see, you know, 3 months before it happens.
Right. That's huge. What about using this, you know, the combination of these different products to fight disease and cancer and things like that?
I think somebody will do that. I think that, you know, starts to get into an iffy territory with, you know, who's behind the product and how you're looking at it. Mm-hmm. And applications there and kind of the complexity of different disease states. You know, for example, we're not a medical company at all, nor do we profess to be one. So, you know, we aren't going to diagnose anything for you. But, you know, following our interventions, you know, down the road might have an effect on, you know, something in terms of, you know, in more of a preventative nature. But kind of the key with what we're doing is we don't look at the biomarkers in light of, you know, chronic disease or acute illness. You know, we might look at some of the same biomarkers that, let's say, you know, a physician might, but we're kind of assessing them differently and saying, okay, what does this biomarker mean in terms of, you know, overall health, wellness, performance, longevity, versus simply saying, you know, are you sick or are you not sick? Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of information goes into that, but we definitely aren't going to say, hey, you're diabetic, because that's not something that we're looking to do.
Love it, man. All right, now is the time where you tell everybody where to find out more about yourself, your company, and anything else you want to tell them.
Oh, for sure. I appreciate it. Yeah, you can check out Inside Tracker on insidetracker.com. I'm sure that, Mike, you can also put my email somewhere. For those who are interested, can contact me directly. It's
yeah, we'll post those in the show notes.
Yeah, sweet. So, yeah, you can contact me directly, you know, with any questions that you may have. That's, you know, the easiest, simplest, quickest way to do it. Always on my phone, always on my email. So, you know, giving me a call or shooting me a text. You know, you can find us on Instagram at Inside Tracker. You can find me on Instagram at Mike_Tarnopol. Not very active on Instagram, but I'm definitely trying to be. So shout out to help me out there. That's a horrible plug, but hell, give me some.
You got to start somewhere.
You got to start somewhere, right? Like, you know, I'm warning people. If they did check me out, they'd probably
give them some love, guys.
Yeah, they probably laugh pretty hard. But hell, I do a lot of giveaways for Inside Tracker on my personal account. So you would see that and get access to, you know, the $600, $700, $800, $900,000 worth of product, and whether it's Inside Tracker tests or gift cards to Whole Foods or Lululemon giveaways, things along those lines. So if nothing else, definitely check it out.
awesome, man. This has been phenomenal. I appreciate it, Mike.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on. I definitely love being on the podcast that I listen to personally. So
absolutely. And before we go, a couple things. First, Adi and I, just for everybody listening, Adi and I are going to start tracking our blood in the next couple weeks. And I'm going to do a follow-up with Mike once we get our results in. Once we get some... a second set of results to see how the recommendations affect us. So be on the lookout for that. And also, if you're not already subscribed, if you want access to some holiday guides, we're going to be putting out some free programming and discounts. Head to brutestrengthtraining.com and sign up for the newsletter. Appreciate it, Mike. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. You as well.